Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Signs of activity from the missing submersible lost at the Titanic wreckage. The Coast Guard confirming overnight that noises were detected in the search area. They say they redirected recovery efforts to the sounds, but so far have not found anything. This update is in line with a Rolling Stone report that searchers were hearing banging sounds every 30 minutes. That's according to DHS communications that NBC News has not obtained or verified.
Well, let's hope. I mean, I guess they heard some sounds and they couldn't identify where it was coming from. They sent in, follow-up and also heard sounds but couldn't figure anything out. I know a lot of people, kind of the take on this is like, what's it so hard to find? Well, it's really deep and it's really wide. It's the ocean. You know, there's a lot of space to cover to figure this out. And, you know, you would think theoretically based on, you know, what we all know about the wide world of sonar in movies, which I don't assume is very accurate, that it'd be easy to find this thing, but, you know, apparently not, even if you're having, you know, relatively recurring sounds every half an hour, which certainly we hope that is them, and certainly we hope that somebody can find them. I think I've told you before that my opinion anyway on this as a layman is, man, I super hope they're still alive, but the evidence doesn't seem all that good based on everything that we know from the possibility of some version of hypoxia because the air mix changes, or any kind of a crack in the sub itself, or, you know, just the fact that they went entirely radio silent and they couldn't connect with them. And even kind of the more horrifying of all the circumstances is, you know, maybe they had a problem and they surfaced and discovered that they weren't by any boat and they couldn't get out because it's an external seal kind of situation. But I will tell you this, you know, this is why you go through these rescue efforts, is because, you know, you'd rather expend the manpower and the time on the hopes that you find somebody alive, because when you do, it's an amazing story. Like those kids trapped in the cave system in, was it Thailand a couple of years? Like, the what? What? How on earth? You know, that kind of thing. Then you got the reports that, you know, the sub had gone missing before one time, according to one of the prior writers. And there are several times, maybe three different times in the contract that you sign when you go down in this thing that, you know, death as a possible risk is emphasized to you. And, you know, I know that the tendency is to either not read or to gloss over these kinds of things because you're like, sure, I know. But here we are. 512 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Great news yesterday in the rollout. We've been talking about this for a while, especially since we knew the governor signed the bill, that we knew we were going to be getting the ShotSpotter technology for the joint operation between Escambia County Sheriff's Office and for PPD. But, Alex Andrade, state representative, was there yesterday at the kind of joint press conference with all of the relevant agencies and representatives there, just talking about the win this represents for the city and the county.
ShotSpotter has been active in the state of Florida, especially in South Florida. And there was some success last year in getting some state funding for the same kind of model. I think what makes this model and this award so unique is it is a relatively small amount of money. It's $850,000 this year to help start this part of the program to go into the real-time crime center. But what made this so impressive and what impressed people in Tallahassee was how collaborative the city of Pensacola and the sheriff's department were in working through this and developing the map for the area that this technology will go.
You know, I love that note because it's such a note of praise for our area where we have such good collaboration between, you know, Gulf Breeze PD, Milton PD, Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, Escambia Sheriff's Office, and PPD. Like, everybody works together really well. And, you know, that was a selling point. I'm imagining the reason that's a selling point is because if you're Tallahassee and you're looking at a sort of a different scenario where the county and the city don't get along, don't work together well, and they're trying to, you know, competition you for some joint operation to fund a technology to make up for the gaps that their own interbickering is causing or not allowing them to solve, you might say, how about y'all figure out your issues first? You know, but now in our county, they work together so well that it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you're obviously doing everything you can. And I don't think we're alone in having the problem we have of criminals traveling back and forth between the city and the county. But there is a, because of our demographics, where crime happens, and again, particularly the fact that it's sort of this side of the city and that side of the county and how that all interacts and the difficulty of even knowing where the city-county boundary is, thinking of us as a joint agency rather than two separate agencies is really helpful. I thought it was funny. He made the quick note there about the price tag, and Chip Simmons had a joke about that.
Only from a state representative would $800,000 not be a lot of money. Did y'all catch on that? And I was like, that's a lot of money for us.
He's like, for us, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but in the state budget, and, you know, Alex runs the transportation bill every year. So Alex is used to looking at billions and billions of dollars, right? And, you know, that's a full, like, six decimal points different when you're talking about $800,000. Anyway, part of the reason this works is because...
As a layperson, it's a series of microphones that do not monitor actively or, you know, surveil people on an active basis. It's a series of microphones that help you triangulate exactly where a gunshot goes off.
And the reason that's important...
When it triangulates like that, law enforcement will immediately know exactly where that gunshot goes off. Right now, if a neighbor hears a gunshot, they call the police department, the sheriff's department, or the Pensacola Police Department officer goes to that house. They don't go to where the gunshot went off. They go to the house, and it could be a few blocks away from where that gunfire actually occurred. Now you have the ability as a law enforcement officer to know exactly where it is, to know where you shouldn't be driving blind, to know exactly the safest route to get there. And you are not relying as much on the community to self-report if something's occurring a few blocks away.
I mean, why do you go to the person's house when they call 911? Because they're the evidence, right? Their ears are all you've got. So you go to not the incident to ask a basically unreliable person what they think they heard a couple of minutes ago. 10 or 15 minutes ago, under the best of circumstances. And on your way there, you might be driving right through the place where the shots happened. You might be driving right through the place where people who were involved in the shooting could be fleeing through and not know what to expect. You know, because getting to the scene, right, you don't know what you're coming upon. And so the idea that you don't have to stop and talk to them, but you can go right to the scene of the action. And as we learned from Andrew Hobbs yesterday, the sheriff's office, you know, that you can know what caliber it is a lot of times. You can know how many shots. You can know what direction the shots are moving if they were moving. You know, so you can, you're the responding patrol officer or deputy. You know, you can show up right to the area. And that shows up in things like, for example, you know exactly where to look for shell casings. Instead of, I mean, you know, if you hear shots, how close were they? 1,000, 2,000 feet? You know, we're talking a search radius of maybe a couple of square miles. I mean, right? Because if you got one person who tells you they heard a shot, you got a large area to look. Well, you know, streets are in, backyards are probably out, probably, right? But finding even a place where it can start to make sense to deploy people on foot to look for, like, shell casings. Or on the other hand, you know, well, that was in the middle of the street on Massachusetts. You know, like you can get a lot more information from this thing. So the sheriff says this is part of, and we've talked with Sheriff Simmons about this many times. This is not new information, but hearing it all presented in one way was kind of useful, that this is going to integrate with the real-time crime center and allow them to more strategically use cameras that might be in the vicinity so that you can not only use the shot spotter to detect, but also the way I understand it is the connection with cameras that can be activated and then roll back to the shot, basically, is kind of how this works. But other cameras that might not be connected to that system, you can just turn on and start looking.
We want to make sure that we make the best use of technology. We've always been kind of on a cutting edge of it, but now this is going to bring us to a whole new level, because the shot spotter programs, the 3 square miles in the county, the 3 square miles that are in the city, will all move into and integrate with our real-time crime center that we're going to open up. That, again, you're talking about partnerships. We partnered on this grant, but we also are partnering on the real-time crime center. It'll be manned by City of Pensacola Police Department employees and Escambia County Sheriff employees. We'll integrate it with all the cameras in the city and the county, and obviously ShotSpotter. We're very excited that it will be, when we get the information, we'll be able to activate all these cameras into that direction itself.
And stop violence in the area. I mean, that's the goal.
It's $800 and some odd thousand dollars. It's 3 square miles in the county, 3 square miles in the city for 2 years. Now, I know one of your questions is going to be, what happens in 2 years? Well, we try to get money in 2 years, and we try to expand it to 3 years or 4 years. We try to get, you know, we try to get 3 miles into 4 miles, or we move our 3 miles. My hope is that the bad guys won't want to go and shoot up this place right here, because they're going to know that we're watching and we're listening to what's going on. And hopefully they'll let cooler heads prevail and will not have the gunplay that they've had in the past.
And listen, the places where they're putting this, you know, in the city, it's a really large, it seems like a much bigger area in the city. I mean, I know it's 3 square miles in both cases, but because it goes from like Tarragona all the way west to the city boundary, which is, I think, around Pace, and then from Avery Street all the way down to Maine. So it's the entire, you know, southwest sector of the city of Pensacola, right? That whole area is going to be part of this. And then in the county, which is, you know, it includes some of the places on Palafox that have been a problem. But, you know, it's all the way west to, I mean, this is where the crime is. This is where the heat map shows, right? This is where the shots are typically in the poor slash black areas of town. It just is, okay? Same thing in the county. You know, you've got these areas in the county in, you know, Montclair and around like Webster and Edison and Madison and those kind of areas. And, you know, particularly around like Diego Circle and Harris Drive, you know, these are, these are bad areas of town, right? This is where a lot of the problems happen. We know, in fact, I have a funny story I'll tell you maybe later on in the show about that with my wife and I. But funny because it turned out okay. But yeah, this is the bad part of town, just right there south of, you know, Brent Beverly and, you know, south and southwest of that vicinity between Mobile Highway and Pace Boulevard. So that's where they're going to, is it Pace? I'm just trying to, now I got to think in my head. And yeah, just like west, like in the, you know, Oakwood Terrace, that kind of end to the west of there. That's the vicinity. So they're going to be patrolling with the camera or with the shot spotter. It's going to get installed maybe later on this year. And you know, I have high hopes. I think everybody has high hopes for the possibility of this to lead very quickly to arrests, very quickly to a reduction in crime. And, you know, maybe we can finally start to get free of some of this plague of shootings that happen in certain parts of town. 522 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton sends the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Let's go. Move out. You're Marines now. You improvise. You adapt. You overcome.
Not my kind, it's not my time to wonder why.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. According to recent information, the Republican voter edge in Florida over Democrats, as far as registrations, is now 500,000. You remember back when we were a dead even purple state? do you remember when Governor DeSantis got elected by 33,000 votes when we had, you know, three recounts could have been four? I mean, it was like, you know, really, really close. But ever since then, Republicans have been registering in the state and or moving to the state. I think that's one of the issues, but not the only issue. As of May 31st, the GOP had 5,311,000 registered voters and the Democrats had 4,815,000. That's larger than the lead we had before. Leading up to the November 2022 election, Republicans were only 306,000 ahead. While in, I thought there was another timestamp on this story, but I guess not. Anyway, used to be dead even. Used to be a Democrat state, you know, long time ago. I remember my grandmother always liked to tell the story about how when she moved to Florida, and this would have been like in the, you know, 70s, that when she moved to Florida, they wouldn't even let her register as a Democrat. Like, they tried to prevent her from registering as a as a Republican in a Democrat state. Now, I don't peg that necessarily as it being Democrat per se, but I remember she was way in the outlier as wanting to be a Republican registered, and they just wouldn't. They tried to prevent her from doing it. Isn't that wild? 5:26, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer doesn't seem happy with Hunter Biden's plea deal. Yesterday, he called it a sweetheart deal and claimed that Biden had gotten away with a slap on the wrist. The former Air National Guardsman accused of leaking classified documents online being arraigned today in Massachusetts. Jack Teixeira has been in custody since he was arrested in April. He's federally charged with leaking Pentagon documents. And the Coast Guard says they've detected underwater noise as they search for that submarine that disappeared while exploring the wreck of the Titanic. In a tweet last night, the Coast Guard said a Canadian rescue aircraft detected these underwater noises in the search area. Search efforts for that vessel focused east of Massachusetts.
Let's hope so. I mean, let's absolutely hope so. David, thanks so much for the update. 527, News Radio 92.3. There was another thing that happened yesterday at the press conference with the PPD and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the mayor, because it was kind of a mixed together press conference of everybody working together. So we had basically part one was the ShotSpotter. Part two.
I've been excited to do this. I've probably annoyed Casey and Laura more about this press conference than any other, about getting to introduce these guys. So you have in front of you, you've got K-9 Bear, K-9 Bo, K-9 Sino, and K-9 Jax. And I will let Deputy Chief, I want to certainly say thank you to the Bear Family Foundation and to Hanto and Clark for their donations.
Yeah, so you had at least two of these canines were entirely provided for by funds given by the Bear Family Foundation, Hanto and Clark, and Kevin Chrisman, the deputy police chief, introducing the new officers.
So today would you like to introduce our four furriest new police officers? K-9 Bear, raise your hand. No, the dog. It's Officer Malenik with K-9 Bear. K-9 Bear is a 1.5-year-old Belgian Malinois. His handler is Officer Madison Malenik. This is his first K-9. And K-9 Bear was paid for through a donation by the Bear Family Foundation.
See the name Bear?
To the Pensacola Finest Foundation. And it was one of the last donations made by the Bear Family just before the death of the patriarch, Louis Bear Jr. So we're very, very proud to have Bear on board. And we're very thankful to the entire Bear Family for their donation and making this possible. K-9 Bear is certified in narcotics detection, tracking, and criminal apprehension.
Hey, if you want to fund the purchase of a K-9, you can get it named after your family, too. You know, that's how that works, and that's perfectly appropriate. What a great legacy for Louis Bear to have that K-9 operating now in the streets of Pensacola. So very cool to, and they had other ones. We'll play it throughout the morning, but, you know, that was kind of neat. Also, today is Donut Strike. Today is the donut strike for Mana. So 1 to 3 at different locations each day. You can go to the PPD Facebook page or Escambia County Sheriff's Office Facebook page and find out the different locations and, you know, bring your food items and help Mana. This is, by the way, Dee Flaunlacher the other day said that one of the things that's grown out of this is an SRO program, because that's cops in schools, right, where they can provide food for kids that need it on an instant availability basis, which is a very nice thing. If you're thinking about buying or selling your home, you want an expert, you want somebody who's going to really walk you through the process, understand it, know where the pitfalls might lay and avoid them, know what the right price is for the home, either buying or selling, and just kind of, you know, make sure everything goes right. When you sell 230 homes in a year, last year. Christina Leavenworth knows how to do this, knows how to help. And I don't know how she does it. There are several things about what she does that amaze me, frankly. One of them is, I don't know how you can have, you know, so many clients and yet each one feels like you're their only one. I don't know how she does that, but that's what everybody tells me. So I believe it. 723-9158. You want to get individualized attention and get outstanding results, give her a call. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. 723-9158. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning telling us all the local things that are going on. David, what do you have coming up after Fox?
The National Weather Service confirming that it was an EF2 tornado last Thursday night. We'll have more on that right after this update from Fox News. Here at News Radio, 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Biden. He talked about it on Fox News tonight on the Fox News channel.
We have exercised every option. We will use the contempt option. We will use the impeachment option. We will use any option. But I think the most realistic option to get rid of these people, to get new people in place in these deep state bureaucracies, is to cut their budget.
President Biden says the bribery claims are untrue. And Tropical Storm Brett has formed in the central Atlantic Ocean.
And even with lower winds, it could still produce a lot of very heavy rainfall, and when that kind of rainfall falls on those islands with the mountains, it can produce flash flooding. So it's still a threat to those islands, even if the forecast isn't for a hurricane.
National hurricane specialist Robbie Berg. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne at 74 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning, and the National Weather Service in Mobile confirming that an EF2 tornado did, in fact, rip through parts of Pensacola and Pensacola Beach last Thursday. The storm had estimated peak wind speeds of 120 miles an hour with straight-line wind damage of 65 to 75 miles an hour. Meteorologist Steve Miller says the area also saw a historic amount of rainfall.
Pensacola at the airport's climate station, they've had recorded as of midnight last night 12.81 inches of rain, which is 8.26 inches above what normally happens in that time period.
And that tornado started in West Pensacola, traveled about 9 miles before ending on Pensacola Beach. Pensacola police unveiling their newest officers, Bear, Bo, and Sino, and Jax. They've been on duty now for about a month.
These dogs are an invaluable tool to public safety. They are able to not just find suspects and find drugs and those kind of things, but they go a long way into protecting our police officers.
Deputy Chief Kevin Christman there, and he says the four newest canines are funded through donations made by the Bear Family Foundation. Honto and Clark, the Pensacola Finest Foundation, Bear and Jax are Belgian Malinois, and Sino's a German Shepherd, Bo, a Belgian Shepherd. Canine Jax, the son of canine Giannis, who died in March after retiring a couple of years ago. The people that oversee Florida's university system could opt to raise out-of-state tuition prices here in the next few days.
The system's Board of Governors will meet tomorrow to discuss the issue after they received a letter from all 12 state university presidents endorsing the idea. They say that the relatively low tuition costs are causing an increased demand from out-of-state students. During the 2021-22 school year, Florida had the 11th lowest out-of-state tuition for undergrads at $21,150. While calling for an increase, university presidents are also asking that each school have leeway to set their own tuition increases based on individual markets and competitive environments.
And that's News Radio's Joe Fortin. Speaking of universities, the University of West Florida offering a new MBA program this fall. It'll have a focus on executive leadership. The graduate executive MBA program is called Leadership Practice and Purpose. It'll be offered fully online, and it's designed for professionals that have at least 5 years of managerial experience. It's one of only a few in the nation to emphasize leadership. It'll be included in UWF's College of Business Accreditation by the Association to Advanced Collegiate Schools of Business International. 534 News Radio 92.3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms in the later half of the day today. Marginal risk of severe weather, level 1 out of 5. A few storms could be strong. High near 87, low tonight near 73. Typical showers and thunderstorms by Thursday with a high near 87, low Thursday night near 74. We're going to be seeing our rain chances continue into the end of the week and the weekend. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
At 535, we've got 74 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and costs out of health care. That's tomorrow morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Red Tail Live presents a multimedia experience that's out of this world. Laser Invasion. Suit up for a fantastical journey through the multimedia cosmos of our imagination. Powered by a full battery of high-tech lasers, state-of-the-art lighting, out-of-this-world video, and concert-quality sound. Laser Invasion. Featuring the music of David Bowie, Queen, The Police, Portishead, Soundgarden, and more.
Coming to the Sanger Theater on June 22nd. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Andrew Hobbs, and known Andrew a long time, and I couldn't remember if this was the first time that we had had you on. I think that it is as chief deputy, so welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Is this the first time we've had you on as chief deputy?
Maybe.
It's Candy. It's overwhelming to have Candy as your walk-up group, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
We've been friends a long time. I mean, I feel like, I was telling him, I'm obviously not law enforcement, but I do. I feel like we all came up together, and it's just, I'm so proud of everything, man. Golly, the FBI and just...
Thank you so much. Yeah. No. We have definitely all been in this. People don't understand when you're in this family, first responders and the media, we work so closely together every day. And when you're talking about hurricanes and the things that we have happened locally, we know each other for so long.
Right.
We know each other's families. We know everything about each other. And it's funny because we've spent more time with each other than probably our families.
Right.
So people ask me all the time, what's your relationship with the media? And I said, really, honestly, really, really good. I said, we're all in it together. I said, we don't have the same issues as national news.
Where it's not like that in other cities. It's weird to me to think, like, there are places where the cops don't talk to the radio people. I'm like, what?
It's wild. It's wild.
But that's, I'm glad we have the one, I'm glad that we have what we have here. It's very, very cool. So let's talk a little bit, well, it doesn't seem like there's been any, you know, sort of major incidents in the last couple of days. So storm stuff is probably the big stuff. Let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, we know the story about Deputy Hollingsworth, which is crazy and amazing. And thank God he's okay.
He is absolutely okay. He has had so many interview requests over the weekend for like who else we've had Fox and Friends. We've had. Fox of Friends has asked a couple of times. Well, he left the next day on vacation with his family. So he is out of town, which is probably best because he would have been overwhelmed with the amount of...
Is that the drain pipe guy?
Yes.
He didn't go on a cruise, did he?
No. But it could not have been... It could not have been time perfectly. He's out of town with his family, and which is in that situation, you know, people don't understand when he got pulled into that, when he was reaching for that citizen that was already in there, he gets pulled back. He's going backwards in there, feet first, face down. So he has no idea where he's at, and it's pitch dark. If you've seen the video truly doesn't give it enough credit of how dangerous.
Well, that means water would be rushing up his nose, which is always a problem when you're going, right? Okay.
Yeah. So for him to make it through that tube and not be injured, you know, rebar, trees, everything else is
all
under
the
there.
Stuff that could get stuck in there, yeah.
Yeah. And then if you watch the video, the first thing he does as soon as he pops up is he starts looking for that guy.
Right.
He starts screaming for him and asking him. And that is just an example of the bravery, the men and women of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office every day. He didn't care about his own life. He didn't care about going and seeing his children and his wife immediately. What he cared about was the safety of that citizen. And I think that's what sometimes it's lost, is that he put everything he had out there that night to make sure someone went home to their family.
And I think my, you know, it's a weird little note in that video, but it was kind of the part that made me kind of laugh. And the deputy or the EMS was there, I forget who, but they were asking him to like come over to back to the car. He's like, no, I'm not going back. We don't want to have this happen again. We got lucky the one time. We're good.
Yeah, we had to force him to go home that night also. He wanted to continue to work and help. He said, you know, I need to stay out here. My people are out here. What was even funnier is if you're watching that, he's talking to another deputy, Deputy Preston, and he's telling the story what happened, and the look in Deputy Preston's face is like, I hope this is on body cam because I'm not sure I believe you.
That can't be real, right?
You wouldn't believe that happened to anyone unless you saw it on body cam. And a shout out to our body cam company. That thing stayed perfect.
That stayed intact and right. Yeah, it worked all the way through.
Our radio worked right off. It popped out of the water.
Crazy.
Motorola radio worked perfectly. So, yeah, again, I am the sheriff, myself, everyone at the sheriff's office is so proud of the deputy, Deputy Hollingsworth. He is, again, what we see every day.
But you guys had, I mean, you, of course, in a storm like this, you were incredibly active. And, of course, going into it, like Thursday night, I'm sure that some of you were just at home or at events or whatever, and then all of a sudden this hits and you got to spring into action.
Yeah, so I was at Life's a Dance downtown on Thursday.
A lot of people were at, right?
Yeah, Mel and Brent were there. Mel was dancing. Mm-hmm. A great event put on by Victor and Melanie Luna. It's a great event, yeah. It was my first time being at one, and I really enjoyed it.
Did you dance?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I thought you said y'all been friends a while.
Yeah. I mean, I'll
dance,
but I'm not going to dance in front of all those people. That's why I couldn't judge. They asked me to judge, and I said, I can't do it. I can't judge people for something I wouldn't do myself, because I would look out there and just be petrified. But so I'm sitting there, and every time the alert went off, one of the weather alerts, people would turn around and look at me. And I'm thinking, guys, I'm here with y'all. So I'm on the phone with Eric Gilmore, and I'm saying, hey, are we going to be good? Hey, we have storms. He's like, I think we're going to be good. And then he texts me. He goes, I don't think we're going to be good.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. So I when we leave out of there, I look out, and Palafox is starting to have some standing water issues. So I started making some phone calls to Commander Small and Sergeant David Brown and saying, hey, we need to start moving some things around. So I get to the office, and our parking lot's starting to flood, which has been really good. Good as recent times, but when you're out in that type of weather, you just know what your area can take and what
it
can't.
Right.
Those were the largest raindrops I'd ever seen. Those were coming down as hard as I'd seen in a long time. So we started to have some flooding issues.
And just for people who might not know, like the sheriff's office is right next to what used to be the Central Booking Detention, which in 2014, we had big floods there. That building exploded. You know, that area is a low-lying area. It's not good for water. There's been a lot of work done.
Yeah.
But, you know, so just for context.
Yeah. The county has done a great deal of work trying to make that place better. But you're kind of in a bowl.
Right.
And all the water from the basin and everything else runs through there. It's a lot. It's problematic.
So you guys got the call. You shown up at the central office. You started to move equipment around. And then what – I mean, there were a couple of major events that you guys were heavily involved in.
Yeah. You had Pensacola Beach, who had been hit by weather, tornado, straight-line winds. Not real sure about that yet.
And a lightning strike.
And lightning strikes. Right. Yeah, we had flooding occurring. You had possible tornadoes touching down on the north end. So you had a lot of things moving around. Then Commissioner Bender calls me. He's on Pensacola Beach with Eric Gilmore responding to that situation out there.
Director of Public Safety for Escambia County.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
I apologize.
Fine.
Yeah, Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. Yeah, exactly. So he's out there with Commissioner Bender. Commissioner Bender calls me and says, hey, fire is at 34 Patton Drive, Forest Creek Apartments, another area in our community that has problems with flooding.
Right.
They have a swamp basin that's right behind them. It fills up quickly. We need your high water vehicles. I call Commander Small. Commander Small gets on it. The high water vehicles start going over there.
And you have two of them,
We have two of them,
okay.
Yes, sir. And they are surplus military vehicles, but we've retrofitted them. So we used them in Sally. That's where Sally, during Sally, Commander, who was Colonel Small at the time, was drowned out there saving people up there on the north end of the county. So they go out there to Patton Drive. While they're there, the water rises another foot and a half in like 35 minutes. Crazy amount of water was rising through there. Mm. So they get about, with Escambia County Fire Rescue, they pull out about 100 people out of Patton Drive, getting them to safety.
I assume you're shuttling them to like the ECAT buses so they can get over to Marie Young. Okay.
Absolutely. ECAT buses are waiting for them. They go to Marie Young. You know, just our community working together. We are real. I tell everybody, we're the best in the business when it comes to working together for emergency management. When it comes to storms, we just do it better than pretty much anybody. It's fluid. It's beautiful. It looks like a great team sport when we do it.
Eric Gilmore made the comment during the kind of the pre-hurricane season briefing we did at the EOC, and you know, he was running like at Tallahassee. He and Travis Tompkins were kind of running supply distribution, and you know, he's watching these folks down in Ian, and he's like,
yeah.
It's like they're kind of just hoping somebody's going to help them with it, whereas we're like, we got to do it, so we do it. No, it's
We've had a lot of practices between snowstorm or ice storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and things, so we are very, very good at it. I tell everybody, your first responders in Escambia County, fire, EMS, law enforcement, emergency management, are the best in the business when it comes to that. So we're doing that. Funny, non-funny story. The water rose so quickly that we got one of our high water vehicles stuck on a concrete pillar type thing, which I have no idea why it's in the middle of their parking lot, but it is. But after the water
probably
receded,
couldn't see it under the water.
No. Yeah, it was probably 2.5 feet underwater. And you figure that was probably 3 feet tall. So you're figuring about 5 feet of water. When the water receded, we were able to get it back out. But you couldn't get a tow truck back there to it. But we were able to get all those people out. And, you know, again, during all that is when Deputy Hollingsworth is on the side of the road being pulled underneath Highway 98 for 110, 120 feet.
Right.
And you just had, you know, we need to remember, not just law enforcement, but fire, EMS, everyone's out there saving everybody. So, I mean, there is a lot of stories that we can talk about when those events occur of the bravery of our first responders. It's in those bad times, law enforcement, fire, and EMS shine because we are the people who go to the yelling. We're the people who go to the shooting. We're the people who go where most people don't want to go.
Right. Well, I mean, I could talk about that all day. I did want to give you at least a moment, though, because we just got word since last time we talked to Sheriff about the ShotSpotter technology has been approved. The governor has signed, so that's made it into the funding, which means that Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the City of Pensacola are going to do a joint project to implement the ShotSpotter, right?
Absolutely. So we will house a real-time crime center. The sheriff has made the commitment to have a real-time crime center, which really is a cutting-edge technology when it comes to law enforcement. And a part of that will be ShotSpotter. There'll be 3 miles in the city and 3 miles in the county that'll be covered by these ShotSpotter sensors.
Is that geography decided yet, or is that still kind of you're trying to figure out where it's going to be?
Our geography is decided. We used heat maps to decide where our largest amount of shootings and violent crime were.
Can you say where?
Yeah, it's in the Montclair, Mayfair,
okay,
those areas where a large amount of our shootings occur.
Sure.
So it just makes sense.
I mean, that's what I would have guessed, but I didn't want to assume.
Yeah, I believe the mayor has some things worked out. I think he wants to cover Palafox, that the whole downtown corridor and up, which makes sense because me personally, I want to feel safe in Palafox. I want to know that people are doing everything they can to keep me safe while my family and I are enjoying one of the jewels of our community.
Right.
I love Palafox.
Can it be separate areas? They don't have to be contiguous?
No, they're going to be separate areas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
So, but you have to do 3 miles. Anything less than 3 miles, ShotSpotter's not interested in because it just makes it such a small area for their sensors.
Yeah.
So 3 miles, and you'll get a little more than 3 miles because your sensors on the outline will still
periphery.
Pick up
okay,
periphery.
Sure.
So
it's just not as accurate, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but it's going to give us the ability to respond to shots quicker because we don't have to wait for it to get dispatched.
Right.
So once one of those click, it responds and tells our dispatch immediately, hey, we have a shot. It can tell you approximately what caliber, if the person's moving. It can do a lot of things when it comes to investigations and response. If you have cameras, once the real-time crime center is completely done, if we have cameras near that, we can pull our cameras up immediately and see exactly real-time information on what's happening around that shot spot.
Wow.
So it is, you know, when I was at the FBI National Academy, we went to New York City. New York City has a real-time crime center they spend $30 million a year on. And we watched it in action, and it is the most impressive thing I've ever seen. Hmm. It allows you to use technologies that we have in our community. Like, this is a prime example. You call 911 and you say you're at a house and there's someone breaking into your car. We can send you, if you're on a cell phone, we can send you an invite to allow us at the real-time crime center to see your camera on your phone so you can stream it directly back to my dispatch, my real-time crime center, and give me an eye on it. So my dispatchers can look at that and tell the deputies exactly what's occurring, what the suspect looks like, what the suspect's wearing, which way he's going or she's going. It can tell us all of that. Mm. There is no better way than having a unbiased eyewitness to something.
Right.
That
camera instead of the person.
That camera is going to see everything your eyes can't because you're in a stress level that you've never been in. You're going to miss things. Well, that camera's not.
And you don't know how to describe it in a way that the dispatcher will know how to describe it to the officer, right?
So, correct. Absolutely. Those things, using the technology, is just going to make it a better, easier, more efficient. I mean, it just does a lot of positives. We're extremely excited. And again, it's another example of Sheriff Simmons' leadership and where he's pushing us and where he's leading us to. It is exciting times in our community, in our agency.
Chief Deputy Andrew Hobbs, thank you for the time. We're out of time. we could talk all day, I know, but thank you so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely great to have you. 437-1620, that is my phone number, and always good to hear from you if you disagree with me about anything or have a question or even about ShotSpotter. You've been talking about that, and we'll talk about that quite a bit today and tomorrow, I'm sure, with Mike Wood from PPD, because I just think the technology is fascinating. Channel 3 showed some of the stock footage from the ShotSpotter, like where they're using it in other places, and I think the thing is, it is really amazing. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars, cars that are almost new. You know, I know sometimes you think of a used car as like that car that you pick up at the very end of its life cycle, right? Just before it goes to the dump. No, they sell cars that are a year or two or maybe 3 years old, but they have low miles. They're in great condition. And it's basically, like I said, it's like new, just not, you know, it's not new to you, but it's almost that way. And so you can then drive that car for however long you want. If you're like me, you're going to drive it for like 10 or 15 years. And then you're going to buy another one that's a year old and drive that one for 15 years. That's kind of how we do cars. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why I recommend them. They have a great selection, about 300 vehicles on the lot of all different makes, models at any moment. So you can see a lot of different things and side by side compare them. Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation.
That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola's 4th of July fireworks over Pensacola Bay start at 9 p.m. and are presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. The best spots to watch will be from Bayfront Parkway, Plaza de Luna, or Community Maritime Park for the Symphony. Don't miss the Pensacola Symphony and their free Sparks and Stars performance starting at 7 p.m. presented by Peter Mouget. Bring your radio. The fireworks will be synchronized to the music on Cat Country 98.7 thanks to Peyton Heating and Air. The countdown gets started at 9 live on Cat Country 98.7.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
21 gigawatts!
Spuds, what's what? 5:56 on News Radio 92.3 as Candy is accompanying the music.
I blew a hole in it.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did, but I have two more. Look.
Oh, good. You're saying they don't make whoopee cushions like they used to?
No, I got the wrong kind.
Oh.
I can play a whoopee cushion like an instrument. Makes Brent so mad.
What's your additional talent? I could see you as like, you know, the Miss America pageant, and what's your talent? Better than Sandra Bullock's. Here we go. Look
That's
at what
right,
I can do.
That's right, dude.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
If I don't see this on America's Got Talent, I'm going to be really upset. Here.
It's Pensacola's morning show, Got Talent.
There you go.
Yeah. That's there right. There we go. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Brett is getting stronger as it heads toward the Caribbean. Forecasters say it's now up to about 60-mile-an-hour winds. It is expected to move across portions of the Lesser Antilles by tomorrow afternoon. A Utah school district that banned the King James Bible is now reversing its decision. The Davis School District, that's near Salt Lake City, decided last May to remove the Bible from elementary and middle school libraries because of a state law banning inappropriate books. On Tuesday, their school board voted to put the Bible back on the shelves. And Spotify launching a new and, of course, more expensive subscription tier. Bloomberg says the new, they came up with a great name for it, Supremium tier, is launching in international markets first. It'll launch in the U.S. later, and it will offer CD-quality music and more audiobooks.
Wow. Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, they restored the King James version of the Bible to the schools, which to me means still is nobody going to read it because the King James Bible is a challenge to read. Let's just say it that way. It's good. It's obviously it's classic. But as far as like user friendliness, ease of access, that's not the one you want to start a kid on typically. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. If you're asking my opinion, I'll give it to you. New American Standard is a great translation. A lot of people like the NIV, but New American Standard is a really good one. Speaking of the storm we're talking about with Brett, the track looks like it's going to go south of Cuba. Like Dave was saying, that's going to well miss us. The one behind it, however, that second wave, and there's actually a third possibility coming. The next one behind it, that could become a named storm, that's more on like it's aimed right at Cuba/Miami. You know, it's still a long way out. A lot can happen. I think that one's going to bend out in the Atlantic. Fingers crossed. But, you know, we're in that season now where we're going to start to see this kind of stuff. So don't be too worried. Do pay attention. Have your plan. Have your gas. Have your money. Have your IDs. You know, have your crank radio. You know, all the stuff you need in order to ride out the storm. Holy smokes, man. That tornado, almost 9 miles long, jumping from the sort of Mayfair vicinity all the way over to the beach across the water. An EF2. Had that been on land... And EF2.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.